This is the Power Walk Ministries broadcast. Our current series is titled Purposeful Living. Reverend Paul Cannings brings us this teaching with a keen desire to help us really consider our lives and bring focus back to appreciating what Christ has done for us. Through the passage in Philippians 4, verses 14 through 20, he urges us to consider the hardships that many face as they're on the front lines of sharing the gospel. Here he is now with his message, Bountiful Gift.
Years ago, Mother's Day was fast approaching. My son came to me and said, "Hey, Dad, I want to go buy Mom something." I said, "Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. Let's do this." And he said, "Okay, hold on. I saved up some money. Let me go get it." So he pulled out his money and he put it in his pocket. And he said, "All right, let's go. Is there a particular place you want to go?" He said, "Yes." So we went to this store and he was looking around. And he knew exactly what he wanted. Apparently, he had gone to the papers and those little advertising type papers when it came in the mail, and he would pull out different things and figure out what he wanted. So we went and we're looking around, and he finally got to where he's saying, that's it, that's what I'm looking for. I said, "Okay, let's buy it." So he pulled out his money and he says, "Here's the money." He was no more than about 6 years old when he said that. So he didn't do the math right, but his heart was right. Many times when we come to this issue that we've been discussing this week in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 through verse 20, many times when we hear this whole issue of supporting, keeping people on the mission field within this context and keeping them productive on the mission field so they don't have to worry, as in Paul's case, of making tents and then selling the tents and then turn around and still trying to do ministry, which makes him distracted. We sometimes pull back because we hear so much of giving, so much of needing to support ministries when you're hurting, especially during the pandemic. But it was a very difficult time for the people that are being discussed here in Philippians chapter 4. There were people in deep poverty, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says. Same people in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 are the people that Paul is receiving this support from for him to stay productive as a missionary out on the mission field. There are many missionaries out there that are struggling. Now, we have missionaries in Haiti, missionaries in Africa, missionaries in the Caribbean, and they are struggling to maintain their families because many churches have backed up. They have backed up because they're trying to maintain their church and keep their churches productive and effective. So as a result of that, their first place they went to cut is missions. Only problem with that is those missionaries are still out there. They're still serving. And in the midst of all of this, it's very difficult for them to carry on and not try to figure out how they will make it. And Paul addresses this in the first by saying that he's not in this for selfish means. It's for ministry focus. It's to accomplish ministry. It's to get ministry done. It's not just to get a salary. It's not just to get funds and store it up in a nice bank account and say our ministry is very fluid. That's not what Paul is after. Paul is saying, "I'm in a situation where he's broke." He says, "I've learned to be content in chapter 4. I've learned to go with much and learned to go without. So even if you didn't bring it, I'm still not going to lose my ministry focus. I'm still not going to stop seeking to find ways to carry out the agenda of God. Whatever I have to do, go back to making tents, because there's no other church supporting him." He literally says there's no church, chapter 4, verse 15 of Philippians, that supported Paul in getting his missionary work done. And when he comes into this process, he doesn't just want them to see how that benefits the kingdom plan of God. He wants them to see how their mindset is correct and also how what they're doing demonstrates the heart that makes this a blessing to them while they're in deep poverty. So it becomes the wealth of their liberality. It becomes a profit for them. It seems so backwards in our world. In our world, you take, you get, you don't give. But in the scriptures, giving is fundamentally has nothing to do with the persons that we're responding to. Giving has to do with the person who's provided us life and life abundantly. The person who's provided us the opportunity for heaven. He sought us. He died on Calvary's cross to include Gentiles and Jews, bond and free. He is the one that has placed the Holy Spirit in our heart at the point of salvation, as Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through verse 8 would state. He is the one that will restrain Satan so that we can find a way to escape in the midst of trials. He is the one that when we commit to walk by faith, he will let our lives be able to withstand the darts of Satan by arming us. He is the one that does that. He's the one that knows where Satan is. He knows how to respond to Satan. And the fact that he gave us the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, that is powerful in a double-edged sword, is his word that he provided, because people sought to burn it, destroy it. He protected it. He kept it. So we are now armed with his word. It's the person who lives inside of us, a Christ that lives in us. And as a result of that, he who is in us provides us the fruit of the Spirit, which allows us to love even enemies, allows us to walk in the strength of God so we can long suffer through trials that may continue for a long time. He is the one that when we renew our mind, transforms us so that we are able to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So no matter what we're going through, he who is in us is greater to withstand any force that comes against us. All of that is provided to us as an opportunity to gain and to experience. And then when we pass away, he provides a place for us in heaven. He tells us that if we were faithful and committed to do whatever he tells us we need to do, he will not only bless us to have a place in heaven, he will bless us to be overcomers. This is all provided. His kingdom blessings are all provided us. And when we look like these Macedonians look, we're first looking at the value of this gift, the treasure in this gift, the awesomeness of what we have that you can't put a figure to. And that's what Paul is addressing as we continue through this process of looking at how God enriches us and blesses his kingdom plan so that others will receive what we have been blessed to experience. He says right here in verse 17, that's where we are today, from where we have come this week. We've looked at the fact that these folks were sold out. They were driven because they were sold out to do what God was saying for them, so they would track Paul down. If he was with Thessalonican Christians, he would go there and they'd go twice. They would track him down so hard Epaphroditus gets sick. When he finds Paul, he's sick near death. That's how committed they were to this task, because they were sold out because of what God had done for them, because he was sold out to win them to his family. Compared to the Corinthian people in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, their hearts were right. Paul had to challenge the people in Corinth to not have a grudging heart, compared to these folks that were begging him in much entreaty to provide him the support he needs to get ministry done. And that's why Paul says, not because I desire a gift, it's not about me. He says, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Whoa, what is he talking about? We don't seem to realize that we have an account in heaven. We learned that in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, that we have an account in heaven. That's why the Bible says nobody can rob God. God knows what we are sending up there and what we are not. He knows our thoughts. He says, I have an account of what you do with your money as stewards of my resources. In chapter 6, verse 38 of the book of Luke, he says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For with the same measure, it shall be measured to you again. You go to the marketplace, you would put a pound of weight on one side and the actual item on the other side. And that's when you know the person has gotten a pound of sugar or a pound of rice, whatever it is. So I can remember growing up as a child, watching that in the marketplace, going with my mom. Because they got to know my mom, they'd pull a little extra in there. Miss Canning's here, there's a little extra. You go on, you got a lot of kids. I remember that. So God is knowing what we are supposed to give, the pound on one side of the weight, and looking at how we are responding. And that account, he's saying, he's keeping in heaven. And Paul is saying he wants their account to abound. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he actually talks about how it abounds in verse 10. It says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed to sow and increase the fruit of your harvest, being enriched in everything. He is saying it's abounding. bountifulness that creates thanksgiving, because people are able now to be able to continue doing ministry, continue being productive, because it now produces a way of providing thanksgiving in their hearts. Why would God not want to do that? These people are responding to ministry. So when these folks are going to plant in an agrarian society, God is the one that would send the rain. God is the one that would give them the strength to go out in the fields to plant, keep them healthy so they could continue planting and provide for their family. So that what you're doing becomes bountiful to the kingdom of God, because the stronger you are, the better it is. And that's why he is saying right here that when they do this, it becomes worship to God. Worship to God in verse 18. He says, but I have all and abound, and I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now we have worship. As I talk to some of our missionaries, really are needing this. Missionaries that are out on those front lines right now in the midst of all that is taking place around the world, still trying to carry out the mission for which God has called them, and to be faithful in getting what God has called them to do. He says this, not just abounds, it leads to me accepting your worship. It's not just about money. Jesus Christ would say, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. A thief carry his money bag, but he's going to be about his Father's business. People like Mary and Martha caught that. Mary would bring an alabaster box and just pour it on Jesus Christ. Expensive nard. Just be before him, excited about the fact that her brother is raised, Jesus Christ is there, she wants to worship him. And Jesus would look at her and say, you found a good place, Mary. It's the heart of the Macedonians, not just a gift. Stay focused.
Thank you for that reminder, Pastor Cannings. There's so much to our salvation. It's not only a gift from God that secures our eternal home, but also about having an abundant life here on earth. If you have questions about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we invite you to call us and let's talk about it. Our phone number is 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. You can also visit us online at powerwalkministries.org.
I pray that this message has touched your life in the way that we have prayed it, it will. And I pray that God will use it to not just touch it in this moment. It will use it to shape your life, to experience the victory that can be a blessing to other people. I pray that you would also support Power Walk Ministries in our year-end appeal. As it comes to the end of the year, it could also help you in your taxes, that it will be a blessing if you would support our ministry.
For a gift of $50 or more, we will send you our newest book, The Making of the Disciples.
And I pray that God would use that book to touch your life. It sounds like a book for a small discipleship class, but it is to help a person go from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. How do you get past the sin issues? How do you deal with just learning what the fruit of the Spirit looks like? What is the process that God used in moving our lives to spiritual maturity? When it gets there, what does it look like? So I pray that for
$50 or more,
you will support this ministry, because we're seeking to do God's will across the globe. And I know that this will be a blessing for his kingdom purposes as we continue to serve him. We thank you for listening, and may God bless you and your family.
That's powerwalkministries.org. And when you contact us, be sure to ask about Pastor Canning's newest release, Disciples in the Making. It will help you move from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. And now let's remember to look beyond our own sufferings and take time to continually see how we can be a part of sharing the gospel.